so shall thy strength be. That's a promise from God that there's enough gas in the tank to get us home. That's a promise from God. There's enough food in the refrigerator to feed us until he's done with us on this earth. Amen. Look here. Verse number 26. There is none like unto God. That's a truth, isn't it? Of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. Lord's up there for our help. And his excellency in the sky, on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Stop right there just a second. I heard a man say one time, he said, I used to fly different places to preach. And he said, every time I get on an airplane, I'll be scared to death. And I'm like, man, I get on an airplane, I get up there and I think, man, ain't got no business being up here. You're a mile, 5,000 feet up, 5 miles, 25,000, 30,000 feet straight up. So every time I think, ain't got no business being up here. This ain't what God made us for. And you know, he said, that man said one time, he remembered that scripture. He said, underneath are the everlasting arms. And now every time I get on an airplane, I think about that. And I say, Lord, put your arm underneath this airplane. You're safer on an airplane that with a dead battery, with God's arms under your that thing, than you are sitting in a solid, in the White House, with God's hand removed off of you. So, look what he said there. Underneath of the everlasting arm. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be up on a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Verse 29, look at this. This is what I want to get to this morning. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. I like verse 29 when he says, happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? I'm glad this morning that we have the God who is enough. Now, the introduction this morning, I'm going to talk about, he said, well, people is saved by the Lord. I'm telling you today, the happiest people on this earth are people who are saved by the Lord. It's unbelievable. You know, happy, happy, happy. You know what that means? You know what that means? Being saved by the Lord. It's not a matter of material things. As a matter of fact, sometimes material things don't make you happy. Somebody said, saved people are the happiest because we that know the Lord, know him, and his happiness is upon our life. You know why we ought to be happy? We are saved by the Lord. Do you realize this morning we've been redeemed? We've been redeemed. We studied that word redeemed Wednesday night in our Galatians study. And that word redeemed means to be bought back. Bought back. It means you were there, then you got lost, and then you bought you back. They said that little boy made that little boat. And he worked and worked and worked and glued popsicle sticks together and painted it and had it perfect. And he had him a little boat. And he's playing with it one day in the pond and lost his little boat. And he lost that boat and he cried and went home, couldn't find it. And somebody found it. And one day he's walking down the street in town and he looked in a pawn shop and he saw his little boat. And his heart jumped. And he said, there's my boat, there's my boat. He went in and he said, there's my boat. And the man said, no, it ain't yours, it's mine. He said, well, how much is it? I want to buy it. And he said, so much money. And he went and mowed grass and went and took out trash for people, got up enough money and come back. He said, I want that little boat right there. And he paid the man and got his boat back. And when he walked out the door, he said, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. He said, I made you and then I lost you. But then I found you and I bought you back. And I'm telling you, that's illustration of what it means to be redeemed. He made us to start with back yonder in the Garden of Eden. Then he lost us because of sin. But thank God he paid the price on Calvary and bought us back one glorious day. Hallelujah. We're the happiest people in the world, saved by the Lord this morning. I'm glad to say this morning we are the happiest people in the world. You know, they asked, I believe it was old Joe Namath. Some of y'all don't remember Joe Namath. He was a great quarterback for the New York Jets back in the days, and he had the world by the tail, brother. I mean, he making millions of dollars. And they asked him one time, they said, Joe, are you happy? Are you happy? And Joe Namath looked back and he said, happy? What does that mean? He said, I don't think I've been happy more than 2 or 3 days in my life. Now, you come up to me this morning. Stop me back there and say, Brother Danny, have you been happy more than 2 or 3 days? Are you kidding? I mean, I've had some hard times. I've had some battles. But I'm telling you, like that song we sing, that Corey used to sing, the choir would sing. I mean, the good times have far outweighed the bad. I've been happy way more than I've been sad. I've been happy way more than I've been sad. I'm telling you, our God this morning is enough. He's enough. If you got the Lord this morning, He's the God who is enough. I'm glad He said, oh, Israel, you're a special people. I think God's blessed our country more than any country. I want to illustrate that this morning. Let's just think about our country just for a minute this morning. I need me, Michelle, I need you to come up here. Jeremy, you probably don't feel like it. Brother Derek, amen, y'all come on. Danny and Caroline. Brother Eric, I see if that makes us six. I need six people to come stand up right here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give me one more. Come on, Christian, you come on up here. All right, there's six. All right, there's six people. Now, I want to show you something here this morning. I want you to look at these six people. With the world standards, they are going to represent the United States. They're representing the United States where me and you live. Now, by contrast, the world, we have 6% of the world's population in this country. So, there's six of them. They represent the United States. Now, 94% is the rest of the world. Let's just say 199, there's probably more than that. Just say this one section. We have four sections here. Let's say this one section. Everybody in this section, would you stand up, please? It's just one section. That represents the rest of the world. There's the United States. There's the rest of the world. Now, I want you to get that in your head. Get that in your mind. Here's the United States. Here's the rest of the world. There's where you live, and you live in the best part of that part. We live in the cleanest air, the best tasting water. We have four seasons. We've got mountains around us that protect us from hurricanes and tornadoes and good food and good water. I mean, God has put us on the smack dab middle of the Bible Belt, and we are in the best spot of the best country on this planet. Don't you tell me you ain't got something to shout about this morning. We take it for granted. These six represent the United States. They represent the rest of the world. All right, so everybody can see. Y'all be seated just a second. They're going to stay up here just a minute. Now, by these standards this morning, look at this. Watch this. This is the whole world, them and them. These six people have over half of the money in the world, of the income. They make as much as all these people put together. If you live in the United States, you make more money than 94% the rest of the world. They got half of it, and they fight over the other half. Now, there's a few places like Saudi Arabia and some of those rich places, but they're just a few little places. The vast majority of the world, Asia, Africa, Europe, Japan, China, don't have anything. As a matter of fact, one-third of this world last night went to bed hungry. And one-third of the world went to bed full. We're in that. And one-third went to bed starving. Last night, a third of the people in the world, where our bellies were hurting because of no food, last night, they went to bed full, and another third went to bed hungry, but not starving. Now, let's look at something else. Their life expectancy is 70 years. They can expect normally to live to be 70. They can expect to live to be 40 years of age. The rest of the world, because of the millions of babies and little kids that die and with malnutrition and starvation and disease, they live to be 40, they live to be 70. You think you ain't got something to shout about? Let me tell you something else this morning. These six people right here, they have almost all of the automobiles in the world, bigger part of it. Almost all the telephones, almost all the the avenue, the food, and they have 15-to-1 ratio of real estate. They own 15 times more real estate than the average person out here. If the average person out here owns an acre of land, they own 15. So you begin to see in your mind how God, and by the way, that's why these wicked people and politicians and the environmental movement and left wingers are determined to bring our country down. Now, I'm not for keeping other countries down. I hope everybody prospers and makes a good living, you know, all over the world. But you don't help a poor man by bringing down a rich man. That ain't the way it works. Everybody's got to do their share and their part. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, you are in that little six right there. It almost blows my mind the shallow mentality of people that are running this country has nowadays. They think backwards. You think, what in the world are they smoking? You think, right day in the morning, we've got enough. You know, we got several trillion barrels of oil under here in America, and we could drill it and bring gas down to 99 cents a gallon and never have to buy none from another country. But the environmental movement will not permit it. And the environmental movement is inspired by the devil to bring us all under one curtain, under one world government, bring our country down. I'm telling you this morning, you'd think these people are crazy. Here's the way they'd say this. I wrote this down last night. If a politician was saying this, talking about our days and special days, he'd say this. 30 days has September, April, June, and no wonder. All the rest eat peanut butter except grandma and she rides a bicycle. That's politics. All right. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We are living in a time that we don't realize how good God's been to us. God's been good. God's been good. The good times have outweighed the bad. But God's enough. Okay, y'all can be seated. The God who is enough saved people to the happiest people in the world. I'm going to tell you, we are redeemed by the Lord. He said, shout, you people, saved by the Lord. Listen, when you start getting over being saved, you're backslid. When you start getting over thinking God saved me from hell, I ain't going to burn. I ain't going to burn. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live in a mansion. When you start getting over that, you're getting backslid. No, you really believe that? Ain't nobody going to have to beg you to come to church. Ain't nobody going to beg you to try to do right. Nobody going to fuss at you to get in that book. You really believe that? It will do something to you. Let me say, he's the God who's enough because of his provisions. He said, your shoes won't wear out. I got on these old Stacy Adams shoes. I said snakeskin. I don't know if it is or not. But anyway, they feel good. And them shoes right there, they're done going down. I'm probably going to have to buy me some more for the youth rally. And I've got shoes, but they're wearing out. These people, he said, your shoes are going to last you for 40 years. He's the God who is enough. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've got a lot of burdens in prayer. I do too. Let me tell you what the Lord said. Lord said this one time. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, believing, that will I do. I read about George Mueller. And if you've never read about George Mueller, we're living in the days of the internet. Anybody in here can read. One of the greatest men you'll ever read about. And if you want your faith increased, read about great Christians in the past and read your Bible. Most people have no idea what great Christians in the past did and believed. But George Mueller run these homes for orphan children. And he'd get down, and they said he prayed in millions of dollars and never took up an offering. Not one time. I mean, never went out to churches and begged, help us with your money. He said he prayed and prayed. And he said sometimes they wouldn't have nothing, and he'd pray, and there'd be a knock at the door. He read the Bible through 200 times, 100 on his knees, and pleading with God. That's before they had computers and TV and everything else to keep you away from your Bible. And George Mueller prayed. He had five friends that were not saved. He prayed for 5 years, and one of them got saved. He prayed 10 more years, and two more of them got saved. He died in 1898 after praying 52 years. And right after his funeral, the last one got saved about a month after he died. And George Mueller never even lived to see that prayer answered. But God answered it even after he was gone. Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you this morning, He's the God who is enough. He's enough. He's enough. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve a God made of hands and carved out with men's knives and stuff and chisels. We serve the God that made the planets and stars. He is enough. Hallelujah. He's enough. He's enough. There's a man by the name of John Ironside. He was the daddy of the famous preacher Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside was a great preacher who wound up pastoring the Moody Church way back in the day when it was a real good church. And buddy, he preached and was a great preacher. Do you know where Harry Ironside come from? His daddy was a street preacher named John Ironside. He was a soul winner. He preached in parks. He preached in theaters. He preached all over the place. People think you're crazy if you do that nowadays. But those men preached everywhere. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Hey, and John Ironside would go out and preach, and he got typhoid fever when he's 27 years old and died. Back then, people didn't live long at all. And he died when he's 27 and left a wife and two little boys. Back then, there was no Medicare. There was no Medicaid. There was no Obamacare. There was no, but if you done what you had without, you just done loud. I mean, they didn't have no insurance. Wasn't no such thing. And his mama had two little boys, and she said, God, all we got's you. And they had company over one night, and the company sat down to eat. She scrounged up just a little bit of bread and stuff and fed the company. She said, I don't know what we're going to do. And she prayed and lived right and served the God that's enough. And when the company got gone, she was cleaning the table off and picked up a plate and there's a $10 bill laid under it. And she grabbed it and rejoiced. $10, that'd be like giving somebody $500 at least nowadays. And she jumped up and down and said, glory to God, and told her boys. And Harry said, I watched my mother pray and live right. And watch God take care of us. I'm going to tell you this morning, that's what our generation don't understand. Listen, people, if God can make the world and God can make the sun and the moon, don't you know He knows how much your power bill is? He's the God that is enough. I said another time, they didn't have anything to eat. And He sat down at the table. Mama, and them two little boys. And she didn't have nothing. And she poured them all a glass of water. Nothing. And she said, we're going to thank the Lord for the food. And she looked up and they didn't have nothing. And she said, I want to read a verse of scripture, Isaiah 33:16. And it said, your bread will be given and your water will be sure. Your bread will be given and your water will be sure. And she said, Lord, the water is sure, but we have no bread. Amen. We believe you're going to supply it. Amen. And she said amen. Somebody knocked on the door. The boys run and open the door. It's a true story. And there's a man standing there. He said, I know you made my wife a dress here a while back and never did pay you for it. I just got my crop in. Here's a sack of potatoes. And handing them potatoes, she went in there and sliced them potatoes, put them in the frying pan, and a big breakfast of good whole potatoes. I'm telling you this morning, he said, I watched my mom. I watched her believe God. I watched God take care of us. He said, and I grew up believing in the God that is enough. I'm telling you today, He's still God. He's still on the throne. He don't feel bad. And He'll take care of us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. He's the God who is enough. I want to say, we're protected by the Lord. And I'll be done. Listen to this. I read this last night. When you can't trace His hand, you can trust His heart. Do you hear that? Put that down. It's worth writing down. When you can't trace His hand, you can trust His heart. When you can't tell what God's doing in your life, you can trust Him that He's doing the right thing. Don't ever get to play. Matter of fact, what makes people backslide is they get a little bit mad at God. Something didn't work out the way you thought it ought to work out. You got married and you thought everything was going to wound up busting up. Or you got a job, you went out and stuck your neck out and invested a bunch of money, lost it, stuff like that. Listen, whatever happens in your life, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart, God's working in your life and you don't even realize what he's doing. You say, well, I've never been so disappointed. I've never been so discouraged. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, he's working. You just don't know what he's doing. Amen. I read about Mike Holmgren. He was raised in a Christian home. And he lived real close to Candlestick Park out in San Francisco where the San Francisco 49ers play football. And he wanted to play football so bad he could stand. He worked hard and practiced and worked out. And sure enough, he became a great football player in high school. He was an All-American quarterback in high school. His dream was to play in college and then the NFL. And he went to UCLA and played football for UCLA. And he said, I can't wait to get to the pros. That's all I've ever wanted to do. And he got saved when he was little. But he got away from God and chased football. And lived, went to UCLA, and when it come time for the pros to draft, man, he was hoping he'd be chosen, and he wasn't chosen. They considered him to be Joe Namath's backup quarterback. And St. Louis or somewhere up there, he was hoping to get drafted by them, and it didn't happen. He went home. He said, I was crushed. He said, my whole life dream seemed to go out the window. He said, everything came piling down on me. I was depressed and miserable. You know what he done? He went in his room and got out his old dust-covered Bible, started wiping it off. And he sat down and he said, God, I've made a mess. I've been out living wicked, and now I ain't got nothing. I ain't got no career, and I don't have anything. And he got right with God. And he started going to church. And this real pretty girl showed up, and she had been a missionary over in Africa on a mission trip, and they liked each other and started talking. Next thing you know, they got married. Next thing you know, he got a job at his old high school coaching football. Next thing you know, he was promoted to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and lived a wonderful life and one of the most successful NFL coaches in the country. And what God gave him a good wife, a good church, and a good job. What he thought was the end of the world and the worst thing that ever happened wasn't nothing but God just working in his life. Listen, you may be going through something in your life that you think, Lord, everything's over. I'm doomed. I've had it. If you'll do right and get your heart right with God, God will work it out to good, and one of these days you'll look back and thank God that it happened because of what God did. Now, if you do wrong, try to work it out yourself, you're going to get in a worse mess. But he said, I'll take care of you. I'll watch after you. Your shoes will be as iron. Listen, you can't explain me no other way. There's no other explanation for me other than God takes care of me. Amen? I'm the bumblebee. You know it's impossible for a bumblebee to fly, don't you? It's impossible. Science has proved that bumblebees can't fly. They just got little bitty wings and big fat bodies. But see, the reason they can fly is because ain't nobody ever told them that. So they just... That's me. Danny Castle, don't tell me. I just want to just keep on flying, amen? Hallelujah! I'm Bumblebee Baptist. That's a good one. That'd make a good skit, wouldn't it? But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. You may be little, you may be insignificant, you may not have much, but he's the God that is enough. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the night I got saved, when I was 18 years old, coming up on my anniversary next month in April, and boy, the night I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, I got down, I confessed all my sins, and he was enough. The blood of Jesus was enough to forgive me and cleanse me from all sin. I didn't go home half saved. I didn't go home part saved. I went home 100% saved, and I've been every minute since. That's enough right there, buddy. He was enough when I started going into church. He was enough. When I go to church and I'd say, Lord, now you're going to have to help me if I'm going to do this, he would always speak through the preacher and give me just what I needed. He was enough, like dropping manna down from heaven. I'm telling you, he was enough when my girls was little. And a lot of times we didn't know what we was going to do. A lot of times I'd have one of them sick. My girls went to church when they're sick. I'd say, you might as well go to church sick. You ain't going to get, make better stay here. They'd lay down in my office, take Tylenol, and lay them in there. I'd say, honey, I'm sorry, but we got to go to church. And brother, listen, I'm telling you, I'd got down to many a night. One of them would have a fever of 102, and it'd be 12 o'clock at night. And I'd say, God, please, Lord, let them feel better. Lord, please put it on me. Whatever you got to do, don't let them be sick. And somehow or another, he was always enough for us to get through. We had hard times, but hard times is good for you. Hard times good for you. If every little old thing worked out just the way you want it, you wouldn't be worth shooting. Hard time to make a man out of it. Hard time to make a good man out of you if you let it. He was enough. When we got all them phone calls and the battles, people calling the house in the middle of the night threatening to kill me. One woman called one night. She said, she's a witch or something. She called in the middle of the night. She said, Danny Castle, if you say anything else to my mother, I'm going to, I'd preach something. Her mama didn't like it. And she said, if you say that again, I'm going to kill you. And I said, listen, I'd always say, thou hast no power at all over me except what's given you. I'd say something like that, you know. That's true. That's true. Hey, can't nobody kill you if God won't let them. The old drunk come up my house. He'd pull up in the yard at 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk. Lord, I'd go out there and sit in the truck with him. You never heard such preaching in your life. He said, Danny, I'm going to come over and burn your house down. I said, you ain't going to do nothing. He said, yeah, I am. I'm going to burn your house down. You say, what? And you say, I was never afraid of that. Never was. For some reason, it was like God said, don't worry about it. If I can run the universe and I can keep the sun shining and I can make the moon come up and I make you not think I can take care of you, never burned an alarm, didn't have a gun. I might have had one, but I wasn't planning. I wasn't going to shoot you. I felt sorry. He'd come over to my house drunk and preach me the best sermon you heard in your life. Honest to goodness, he preached better than a lot of preachers. He explained that. He said, now, Danny, the devil's going to set traps for you. He's going to try to... I was sitting there, amen, amen, amen. It was helping me. That's how weird it is sometimes, man. I wanted to get down and pray after he got through. I'm the preacher, he's a drunk. And you know, if the Lord can use Balaam's ass, if God can use a cock to crow, if he can use a rooster, I tell you, he uses a drunk to tell you something. Won't he? He's a God that is enough. He never did burn my house down. I mean, after I got killed by a car, nor even killed him. He's a God that was enough. We came, started Shining Light Baptist Church. He's the God, it's enough. Let's have the buses. Listen, the devil's throwed everything but the kitchen sink at our bus workers, bus drivers. But I'm telling you, there's a rolling this morning. God. You know why? Because he's a God, is enough. I'm going to tell you, he was a God when I was enough, when I was little. And mama took care of us and daddy was who knows where. And he was God when I was saved and God kids were little. And God, one of these days when it makes for me to go and I stand at death's door and I say, well, it's over. Here I go. In eternity, he'll be the God that'll be enough on that day that'll say, come on in, Danny. Enjoy the Lord. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Hallelujah. He'll be the God that's enough on that blessed day. I just want to tell you this morning, he's God and he's enough. As a matter of fact, if you get down to where you ain't got nothing but God, then it'll hit you. That's all you really needed anyway. He's the God that's enough. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, I believe with all my heart that somebody this morning, you needed this. You needed what I preached. I don't know who you are. You may be a member. You may be a visitor. I don't know. But you need to get in this altar and just say, Lord, you're the God that is enough. All Israel had to do is trust him and believe. Make it just fine. Do you need that this morning? If you're a young person, if your mom or dad, you say, I've been trying to figure it out myself and do it myself. Why don't you come and let him have it this morning? Amen. Something's coming. Something's coming. Just get out of your seat. Come on. He's the God who is enough. He's enough. You say, you mean tell me, Brother Danny, I got bills and problems. You're just telling me all I need is the Lord. Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Because if you get that right, everything else will fall in place. He's the God who is enough. Father, do what ought to be done right now. I pray you'd work in every heart and every life. I want to thank you this morning, Lord. You're the God who is enough. I pray that you'd bless this invitation. Thank you for these that are already come. Give everybody what they need this morning. We need help. We need help. And we beg it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. Everybody sing. Come on. Come on right now.
Softly and Amen. Tenderly Jesus is calling.
Come on now.
Calling for you and for me.
Everybody say now.
See on the portals, yeah, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Amen. Sing, everybody.
Come home.
Come on home this morning.
Come home.
Ye who are weary.
Ye who are weary.
Come home.
Is calling,
amen.
Calling,
oh sinner,
come home.
Let's sing another verse. Everybody, sound. Come on now. Forget, we need everybody in the choir here at 5 o'clock this evening. Now, we're going to be putting forth some extra effort here in the next few weeks, y'all. Ain't no time to be letting up. It ain't no time to be saying, I'm just going to chill out and enjoy this pretty evening right up in the mountain. No. Remember, you got to do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you. Put him first. He'll make a way for everything else. Be here tonight. It's 5 for choir practice, 6 o'clock church. And we're going to work on the youth rally, okay? Amen. All right, let's all bow our heads.